Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 211 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're continuing our series looking at different items that have been drawn into sharp focus by myself with a view to my September challenge coming up. In September, as I'm sure you guys all know already, I'm eating nothing that I have to buy in a shop is basically how it goes. And I'm being really, really strict with myself on that. I'm including all things, including salt and pepper that we've already discussed in this series, spices, grains, absolutely everything I need to either raise myself, grow myself, forage, trap, harvest, or barter. And the bartering is something I've really sort of crystallized my rules on for myself, my self-imposed rules. The idea of bartering is going to be thus. I'm allowed to use things that I've bartered for. However, the barter must be a fair trade, and it must be a food item in both directions. So what I can't do is barter a watch that I have on my bedside cabinet for a truckload of spices, because the watch isn't a food item that I've made myself. You know, the food items that I trade out have to also fit the rules. That's the first thing. And secondly, it must be a fair trade. I was recently offered by good friend of the show, Alan from the Urban Homesteading UK podcast. He said if I was a bit short on honey, which I may well be and is going to be the bulk of today's topic, he offered to basically, you know, give me a loan. That, unfortunately, wouldn't quite fit in with the rules of it being a fair trade. Now, I am, however, prepared to barter for some extra honey if I need to. But as I said, it must be a fair trade, and it must be a trade for something I've raised here. So one example I can think of is goat's cheese in exchange for honey. One pot of goat's cheese for one jar of honey. They cost around the same in the shops. So for me, that's a fair trade. So those are the rules within which I'm working, and the topic of today's episode is going to be sugar and how I'm going to cope with that deficit, because we certainly buy sugar, and there are lots of things that we buy sugar for that perhaps you don't think of, and we end up, if you're in my position, if we want to work towards self-sufficiency, we probably end up buying more sugar rather than less for lots of different reasons that I will get into. Before I do, however, just a tiny bit of housekeeping. Firstly, I just want to say we've had a lot of contact from you guys lately, which is fantastic, and I absolutely love it. But I am a little bit snowed under with all sorts of other things. So if you've sent me an email, or if you've become a patron and you haven't yet had a shout out on the show, please forgive me. I am working through it, and I promise I will get to you. I will reply to every single person who has emailed me or however contacted the show, and I will get to you and make sure that you're given the attention that you absolutely deserve. But I'm a little bit behind, so please bear with me. With that said, I do have one patron shout out from last week that I didn't get round to giving on Friday's show, and that is to Shannon Ward. Shannon Ward is one of our latest patrons, and I just want to say, Shannon, thank you so much for deciding to support the show in that way. As always, it makes such a huge difference. All of you guys that have made the decision and taken the step to say, you know, I get value from the podcast and the YouTube channel, or however else you consume my content, basically, you know, I get value to such a degree that I want to show my support in that way. It really, really touches me and makes a difference. And I can't put into words the difference it makes. So thank you so much, Shannon, mate. And also thank you for all the other ways that you've got in touch with me and that you support the show. So this episode and every episode is dedicated to our patrons. You guys are amazing, and it's people like you that make all this possible. Thank you so much. If you would like to become a patron like Shannon, then please do head over to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. And that's where you can sign up. And for a small monthly donation, whatever you think the value of the show represents to you, maybe you want to buy me a coffee a month. Maybe you think, you know, each episode's worth 50 cents or 50 pence or whatever it might be, then you can make the relevant donation there. And of course, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. So with that said, let's get into the details of today's episode. And again, we're talking about sugar. We're going to end up actually talking about honey almost exclusively, but not quite. And we're going to get there through the idea of sugar. And sugar is something that we buy. And of course, in September, I won't be buying any and I certainly won't be using any. So how do we get there? Well, the first thing to say is that if you're going to be walking the path that I'm on, you probably are going to find fairly early on that you're actually buying more sugar than you used to. And there's a few different reasons for that. Firstly, let's talk about sugar replacement and honey. Well, if you're going to be producing that yourself and you're going to have bees, then you're going to be in a position where you're going to want to feed them at least sometimes. And depending on your school of thought and how you kind of are taught beekeeping, you may be told that you're going to want to feed them a tremendous amount. In fact, lots and lots of hobby beekeepers end up buying a tremendous amount of sugar to feed their bees, because this is a way of basically getting them to produce extra honey. Well, I'm not going down that route. I'm actually not feeding my bees. I'm only going to feed my bees if there's a particular need for it, if they're struggling for whatever reason, or if I'm trying to develop a new colony. For instance, if I've caught a swarm, I might feed them while they get themselves established in their new home. Things like that, and my new colony of bees that I first looked after at the apiary, at the Beekeeping Association apiary. We fed them in the run-up to winter because they were a newly established colony and they didn't have that many stores to get them through the winter, so we give them a bit of a boost in that example. And I will continue to do things like that, but I'm not going to be feeding them as a matter of course just to increase my honey yield, because that goes against what I'm trying to achieve, and everyone will be different, but I'm producing honey to reduce my requirement to buy sugar. And, you know, it kind of flies in the face of that if I'm going to buy a load of sugar just to turn it into honey. That's not my goal. I want my bees out there doing it from the natural environment, which is what they want to do anyway. You know, that's their natural bent. So I'm going to let them get on with it. I'm leaning far towards a more natural beekeeping style than the sort of intensively managed stuff that a lot of people go in for. And this is all personal choice. I'm not preaching. I'm just talking about what I'm doing. So, but that's one of the ways in which you might find yourself buying a lot more sugar. Another one is just in the preserving process and the general cooking process. If you are making a lot more of your food from scratch, if you're baking cakes, if you're making things like rhubarb crumbles, then you're going to find yourself faced with a lot of recipes that call for a lot of sugar. And in these examples, you know, obviously, these are things that perhaps you weren't producing before. You know, I could probably count on my fingers the number of times I'd made a rhubarb crumble up until about 5 years ago, whereas now I will make several, probably into the double digits every single year. And, you know, that has a requirement for the sweeteners that we would generally get from sugar. And that's what you're going to find in all the recipes. So there's just, you know, this other aspect to being self-sufficient and making all your own food is that you're going to be buying more of those raw ingredients, however they take shape. And that runs across the entire gambit of our food cupboards. So, you know, we're going to be just, because we're naturally cooking from scratch more, we're going to be using all of those raw ingredients. You're not actually buying any more sugar. You're just buying it in its raw form more than you perhaps would previously, because perhaps previously you were buying your puddings in the form of pre-made chocolate bars or whatever it might be, you know, ice creams. These are all things that we're now making from scratch, not chocolate bars, but, you know, cakes, crumbles, puddings and ice creams. And we're doing so by using the raw ingredients rather than buying the processed form in its final state. So there's one other way in which I found the requirement for sugar really went through the roof, and that's when I do a lot of my preserving. Not now, but later in the summer and into autumn, when we're making lots of jams and chutneys as a way to preserve our food and fruits, then obviously in almost every recipe that you find for a jam or chutney, then you're going to find the requirement for lots of sugar. So over the last 3 years, I think if I was tracking my sugar purchase, it certainly would have gone up, and I think quite possibly would have doubled or tripled over that time. You know, another thing we're doing is making homemade kombucha, and we use a lot of sugar in that process. So, you know, there's lots and lots of things that if you're going to try and be more self-sufficient, you might find yourself actually requiring yourself to buy more sugar rather than less. Another example would be home brewing. And, you know, the more you think about it, and the more you peel back the layers, then, you know, the more examples there are of this. And I think it goes back to something I quite often talk about, and it's about going one step back. You know, from my point of view, I think going from, for instance, now I don't drink, but it's a really nice example and a really clear-cut example. If we have homemade cider, if we go from buying cider in the shop to making our own cider, as far as I'm concerned, that is a huge step in the right direction. But you might find that it causes you to be buying lots more sugar. And then I always talk about going back, you know, one more step, going back two more steps. You might start making your own homemade cider by buying apple juice and buying sugars and buying yeast. And that is fantastic. But then you might go one step back and start using your own apples and creating your own apple juice. You might then go a further step back and start thinking about homegrown sugar, or more specifically, for me at least, homegrown sugar replacements. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self-Sufficient Hub group and the Self-Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. So when this podcast was very, very young in its first couple of months, I did a short Monday series, which was hard to replace items. I covered things like citrus fruits, but I also did an episode on sugar. It was episode 47. And I do recommend that you go and take a listen to that, because I go into a little bit more detail in some of the other alternatives therein. And yeah, I think it stood the test of time fairly well. My recording style has become a little bit more fluid and a little bit more comfortable since then, which is really noticeable. But there's some good stuff in there. So I do recommend that maybe you pop back and listen to episode 47 after this one. Now, one of the other alternatives apart from honey is maple syrup. And that's something we can create ourselves by tapping maple trees and basically reducing that sap. It's actually quite a simple thing to do. And it's something I talk about in a bit more depth in that episode. And I'm not going to go into too much here, because I'm talking mainly about a view forward looking into September and what I'm going to be doing there, which is why I'm focusing on honey. It's worth saying, though, that in the research that I've done in this area over the last year or two, it came to light, and I was really quite surprised, that a lot of the sugar, the processed sugar that we buy in the shops here in the UK, doesn't actually come from sugar canes. It's homegrown from sugar beets. And that is something you can do at home. And it's one of those things that's been on my to-do list for a little while. And, you know, I've missed the boat in the last two seasons, and hopefully I'll get round to it next year. But you never know. And I'm always making promises of things that I'm going to do next year, and quite often they don't make it. So I'm not making a promise, but we shall see. It's something I definitely would like to do at some point, because you can actually grow your own sugar beets, which you would grow a little bit like beetroots, but then with a lot more processing, you can actually create sugar, just raw sugar. And I really like that idea. It's something I'd love to try. But For me, the main substitute is going to be honey. Now, honey is something that is a little bit more accessible. It doesn't require all the processing, and it's a little bit more mainstream and easier to, you know, find the resources and do yourself. As you guys will know, I'm a novice beekeeper, and I've got a little bit of experience, and I'm getting more all the time. But I'm hoping that my main hive, and it's looking pretty good, I'm going to be able to actually harvest some honey from that in about 6 weeks or so, just in time for September. Now, you might be thinking, how much honey do you need? And the honest truth is, I really don't know, because we probably use about 5 kilograms of sugar, of raw sugar, every 3 weeks. That's my guess. And that sounds like an awful lot. And it is, but it goes right into basically everything we eat, you know, right across the board. So that is spread out between 5 of us in our family. So it's about 1 kilogram every 3 weeks per person, I would suggest. And that makes almost all of our desserts, you know, everything from custard and, you know, the things I've already mentioned, but cheesecakes, ice creams, all of those things, and the kombucha. I also used it very recently to make some elderflower cordial. And, you know, so it's quite a lot of sugar, but it is spread out fairly well as well. So what does that work out to? About 300 or 400 grams per person per week. Still sounds quite a lot, but I don't think it's any more than the average family, and probably quite a bit less. So what does that mean? It means that I'm going to need about the same amount of honey. So in September, for myself, I'm probably only going to need about 1 kilogram or two, which is 2 or 3 pounds. That seems a little bit low to me, and I think I'm going to want a little bit more, but we shall see. I think the truth is going to be in the pudding when I really start using honey as a sugar replacement in all of the things that I plan to use it for, in things like preserving and cake making and crumbles. And I will obviously keep you guys updated as I go, with a view to, you know, how you can use honey, because I think at the start, every single recipe is going to be a bit of an experiment, because when I think about things like making a crumble topping, you know, substituting in honey for sugar is going to really affect the viscosity of that material. And, you know, am I going to be able to get that same crunchy finish to it? I just don't know. Honey is also a fantastic preserver. You can actually preserve things just straight in honey. We preserve garlic in honey. We absolutely love it. And it basically ferments in there. And what you end up with is, so you don't think about it as a garlic flavored honey. You want to think it as a honey flavored garlic. It's a way of preserving the garlic. And garlic fermented in honey looks beautiful on the countertop, but it also tastes amazing. And is, you know, we just use it as a way of preserving garlic, and a way to, you know, use garlic in pretty much any dish, because that little bit of sweetness almost always adds something to it rather than take it away. So generally speaking, honey is going to be substituted for sugar pretty much like for like in terms of the amount. Anything up to about 1/2 cup. If you've got 1/2 cup or so of requirement for sugar in a recipe, then you would replace it sort of like for like. But honey is slightly sweeter than sugar. So once you get above 1/2 cup, then you might just reduce it slightly. So a full cup of sugar you might replace with, you know, 3/4 of a cup of honey. And other than that, it should be, you know, really simple to just replace it in most of the things that we use sugar in. Honey is actually slightly better for you than sugar. Well, it's a lot better for you in sugar than sugar in a lot of ways. It's not that refined sugar, which is one of the worst things we can be eating on any kind of scale, really. But it also contains, raw honey at least, contains lots of health-promoting nutrients that can be lost if it's processed honey. And, you know, it contains lots of minerals and vitamins and things that you won't find in refined cane sugars and the like. It also contains antibacterial and antiviral and anti-inflammatory and anti-allergenic properties as well, due to the something called the flavonoid content. So, you know, it does have a lower GI value than sugar as well, which means it doesn't raise your blood sugar levels quite so quickly. So that coupled with the fact that you're going to need a little bit less of it than sugar means it can really help with all sorts of health issues. But if you are a diabetic or someone thinking that honey might be the magic bullet, then you might want to just, you know, keep an eye on portion size, because it is, firstly, it's slightly more calorific per teaspoon than sugar, but it is also going to raise your blood sugar levels, just not quite as spikily as the refined white sugar that we're kind of used to. It's also worth remembering that just like other syrups that we might use as a replacement, honey is classed as free sugars, which is the type that we are advised to cut back on. So it's worth just bearing that in mind. You know, it's not a magic bullet and it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. When it comes to how much honey you might need and how many hives, well, I think it really is going to come down to assessing what happens in your kitchen, because everybody is different. And again, it's, you know, down to how much you're going to require for things like preserving. How much of your sweet foods are you going to be making from scratch and using honey instead of sugar for? If you're just going to be using it as a topping or a way to flavour yogurts and things like that, then perhaps you won't need that much. If you're going to be using it in things like coffee, you know, we don't need a tremendous amount. But if we're going to be using it for a lot of preserving, then all of a sudden you might find yourself needing a lot more than you thought you otherwise might have. Now, in terms of if you're thinking of producing your own honey and getting your own bees, how many hives might you need? Well, if you ask five different beekeepers how much honey a hive will produce, you'll probably get six different answers, which is one of the things about the beekeeping community. But I think it's fair to say that an amateur beekeeper can expect to get at least 40 pounds of honey in a good year. So, you know, I always try and think for bad years, and I'm thinking 10 kilograms per hive is probably going to be a nice conservative estimate. So if I'm using 5 kilograms of sugar every 3 weeks, that we can round that and say 7 kilograms a month. So that gives us about 85 kilograms a year. So 8 hives should comfortably fill that gap. Again, you know, there's going to be years when certain hives don't produce, but because I've gone for that 10 kilograms a year estimate, then, you know, I'm kind of allowed for that, because we'd actually expect the productive hives to give us quite a lot more. So that's my thinking and where I am at the moment, but there's lots and lots of road left for me to tread down this path, and of course I will bring you guys on it as I go. That wraps up today's episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please do continue to get in touch, and please do continue to support the show in all the ways you do. I don't want anyone watching or listening, watching the YouTube channel or listening to the podcast, to ever feel that, you know, becoming a patron is a prerequisite. You absolutely don't have to do that. It's optional. And, you know, just by downloading the show, you are supporting it. When you write in with your messages, you are supporting the show. When you leave comments on my YouTube videos and watch those, you are supporting what I'm doing here. So thank you so much for doing that. And if you do obviously want to go a step further, then there are those options available to you, and they are massively, massively appreciated. So thank you ever so much for listening, and I will speak to you guys really soon. Cheers. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.